From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our next hour, the days are getting longer, and for many, summer vacations are on the horizon. That means more time to settle in with a good book. What book would you recommend most for a long summer afternoon? Or what book would you recommend, period, simply because you believe it to be an important book to read, fiction or nonfiction? We'll get your recommendations, and you can post them now on our website, kqed.org/forum. That's next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. Seasonally, we ask you, our listeners, to recommend books you feel others ought to know about and ideally read. And we compile a list of your recommendations, which we make available to listeners online. And that list should be available to you later this afternoon. Each season is different, and summer usually is associated with easy, languid, warm weather, beach, or relaxed reading. But we want to open the phones to get from you books you feel are worth reading, perhaps even books you feel are must-reads. And that's essentially how we're going to do it this morning, offering you, our listeners, an opportunity to share your love of a specific book. The toll-free number, and you can join us now, is 866-733-6786. Again, that's toll-free, 866-733-6786. This will be all listeners calling, although we're going to talk with somebody from one of the local bookstores first, but we will go to your calls in short order. You can also email us, forum at kqed.org, and this is a popular hour, so I recommend if you have a suggestion, you let us know about it and do so forthwith. You can also go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum. And one other way to communicate with us, Facebook page. Let me, before I go to your calls, bring Louisa Smith on here. She's head buyer for Book Passage, both in Corte Madera and San Francisco, and that means she decides what books to buy for those two enterprise stores. And Louisa, good to have you with us on Forum. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I'm going to begin by asking you about children's books because from my perspective, we often pay not enough attention to children's books, and I see that one of your picks is by Mac Barnett, who I have known since I do the Kidney Foundation luncheon every year and was one of the authors who was chosen a number of years ago. This is a book that you like called President Taft is Stuck in the Bath.
Yes.
For 4 to 8-year-olds. And tell us a little bit about it and why you like it.
Oh, I love this book. It is actually based on an anecdote about President Taft, that he got stuck in a bath. And here Mac Barnett, who's a wonderful writer and so funny, he imagines what the cabinet would do if they were trying to get him out of the bath. It's beautifully illustrated, and it's hysterical. They talk about maybe greasing the bath with butter to get him out and blowing it to smithereens as cabinet member after cabinet member comes inside and tries to figure out how to get the president out of his giant bath. And it's a wonderful story for children. It's a little bit of history, and it's also just incredibly amusing.
Well, does he draw President Taft to look a bit like Chris Christie? I mean, that's been the analogy that so many have made. But I think Chris Christie's now out of the running for president. So, and then you've got Under the Egg by Laura Fitzgerald. Tell us, that's more 8 to 12-year-olds.
Yes, this is a wonderful mystery novel. It starts out with her grandfather tells Theodora Timpany that it's under the egg, and she discovers that there is a painting hidden under a picture of an egg that he has. And she's confused because her grandfather actually is a guard at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. She worries that maybe it's been stolen, and she starts to investigate what happened. And just to give it away, I'm afraid, he, it turns out, was one of the monuments men. So it interweaves history, on top of which it's a wonderful exploration of art and New York. And if you love the mixed-up files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankenweller, you're going to love this book.
Oh, you just gave us a spoiler alert, at least. But both these books give a good deal of history, which I like, and this art as well. So let's go to fiction and nonfiction. We're talking, by the way, with Louisa Smith, who's head buyer for Book Passage, both in Corte Madera and San Francisco. Let's take nonfiction first. You really like the book about Sally Ride.
I love the book about Sally Ride. She's a fascinating public figure, first female woman in space, and she was involved with NASA in, when it was growing and was really a boys' club. But on top of which, she was intensely personal and had a very interesting private life. And this is the first time that they're delving into what it was like to both struggle with this big boys' club organization and try to keep a private life and keep your family protected from what was going on all around her.
And the book is America's First Woman in Space by Lynn Scherr, just to get it out there. You also have a book of nonfiction that you are heralding called The Good Spy, The Life and Death of Robert Ames.
Yes. Well, I love a spy story. And he was perhaps our most famous spy. And it also gives a little insight into how the war on terror developed to where it is today, unfortunately. He was more about making friendships and trying to build bridges between different sides. And unfortunately, he was killed in Beirut in 83, but he hoped to actually try to reach some sort of understanding with the other side. And he got a lot of good insights there on what the other side was looking for and wanting. It's a really fascinating story about how spycraft and that time.
Getting recommendations from Louisa Smith, who is head buyer for Book Passage, and we'll get your recommendations in just a moment here. I did say I would get to fiction with Louisa Smith, and these are two books I know nothing about, so please educate me. Euphoria by Lily King?
Euphoria. Oh, I love this book. It's actually loosely based on the story of Margaret Mead and how she went into New Guinea in the 30s with her husband. And they like to say went in with one husband and came out with two. It's a time where anthropologists themselves don't really know what anthropology is and what they're looking for. And so it's a mystery. It talks about what would be normal and what was happening at that time. It's between two world wars, and I think everybody's looking for identity. It's a fabulous, passionate love story, and I think it's beautifully written.
And another novel, All the Light We Cannot See?
Yes, this novel I'm passionate about. If you're only going to read one book this year, it has to be All the Light You Cannot See. It takes place in World War II. It's two stories that are interwoven. One is a French girl who goes blind at the age of six. Her father is the locksmith at the museum, and they escape Paris and go to the Brittany coast, perhaps with something very valuable. And then the other is the story of a young German boy that happens to be very good at repairing radios. And so he gets into the Hitler Youth schools. And eventually their stories merge. And it's a beautifully written book. It has a lot of mystery and history in it, which obviously I like. The author, Anthony Doerr, is actually known as a short story author, and you can tell because every chapter in this book, it could be a short story and stand on its own. It's so beautifully written.
Well, I thank you so much for these recommendations, Louisa, and I would be remiss to my friends, the Petrocellis, if I didn't say it. Presumably all these books are available at either Book Passage, right?
Yes, they are.
Good to have you with us. Thank you for being with
us.
And now we're going to have your recommendations, and let me go right to them without tarrying. We'll begin, Barbara, with you. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to call right away. Be sure I got on this time because I didn't manage to last time. The book I'm recommending is a book called, it's a novel. It's called Sugaree, S-U-G-A-R-E-E, Rising. It is a novel by a man who is a local journalist here in Oakland. He goes by the name of J. Douglas Allen Taylor, and those of us who know his writing here in Oakland were extremely surprised by this book because it's totally different. It's a novel about an African-American community fighting rural electrification in South Carolina in the 1930s, but it's different from any of those other rural electrification books anybody's ever read because this is a tight community. They're not Christian. They've kept their old African religions. They live on what's almost an island, and as a result, they have a lot more power to resist the people around them than a lot of communities do. It's a very poetic book. It's extremely funny. It's spooky.
And it's by a local author.
And it's by a local author, yes.
So, I'm glad you made that recommendation. The novel, again, is Sugaree Rising.
Yes.
Thank you, Barbara. Glad you got through. And let me get to some more of your calls here. We'll go to San Francisco. Neil, hi.
Yeah, I made practically an obsession about Ultimate Sacrifice by Lamar Waldron and Tom Hartman, but there's another book they wrote right after that. This is a critical look at both Martin Luther King's and Robert Kennedy's assassinations. It's called Legacy of Secrecy, as well as an analysis of what impact the Kennedy assassination had on the intelligence community. Both books are being shamefully neglected. The press won't review them. I don't mean they won't review them favorably. They won't review them at all.
Who are the authors again, Neil?
Lamar Waldron and Tom Hartman both wrote both books.
This is Tom Hartman, who works in broadcasting, you know?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that recommendation, Neil. I thought you were going to mention Graham Greene again.
No, he would have been proud to have written either book, though.
No, thank you. And I'm getting some of these online suggestions that I want to go here. The Days of Abandonment by Elena Ferrante. Amazing story about a woman's struggle when her husband leaves her. I could not stop reading it. Another listener, Jan, writes, my favorite book so far this year and one of the best books I've ever read is The Boys in the Boat, Nine Americans and Their Epic Quest for Gold at the 1936 Berlin Olympics by Daniel Brown. The more I read, the harder it was to put down. A compelling story, not just about that quest for gold, but about the lives of the boys on that crew team and also the rise of Nazi Germany and how Hitler used the Olympics to advertise Nazism as modern, sophisticated, and reasonable. I also highly recommend Isabel Wilkerson's, The Warmth of Other Suns, the epic story of America's great migration, and Joe Baker's novel Longbourn, a retelling of Pride and Prejudice from the point of view of a servant in the household. Great summer reading. By the way, that book by Isabel Wilkerson is a wonderful book. We featured it on Forum, and since she mentions the rise of Nazism, we also featured Francine Prose earlier this year, who wrote a novel that I thought was terrific and just couldn't stop reading. It was called Lovers at the Chameleon Club, Paris, 1932. Again, in my own recommendations there, which I'm usually a little reluctant to do, but those two I think are well worth recommending. And we'll hear from more of your recommendations. Again, you can join us toll-free at 866-733-6786 if you'd like to add a book to this illustrious list. And in fact, the list will be, we hope, available later this afternoon. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go online to kqed.org/forum. Here are some more online. Bill says, my struggle book won by Carl Ove Nosgaard, a beautifully written memoir, and The Twin by Gerhard Bakker, which is fiction. Another online, Americana. This is by a very difficult to pronounce author's name, Chimamanda, but help me phonetically with this, I think the listener did, Aisha. Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. Okay? And the book is called Americana, A-M-E-R-I-C-A-N-A-H, and she doesn't tell us what it's about, or he doesn't tell us what it's about, but thank you for the recommendation. John says online, having just started with Some Hope, one of the Patrick Melrose series novels by Edward St. Aubyn, based on St. Aubyn's life, I am enthralled. With British edge and humor, St. Aubyn presents life in its complexity, adversity, and triumphs. And Sarah says, anything by David Mitchell, especially Cloud Atlas or The Thousand Autumns of Jacob de Zoet, entering the worlds he constructs is absolutely delightful. And you can actually hear the interview, I think it's in our archives, that we did with David Mitchell. Let me go to more of your calls, and we'll go to Moraga and welcome Helene, who has a children's book to add. Hi.
Hi. I want to recommend Wonder by, I think it's R.J. Palacio or Palacio. And it's a book about a boy with a facial disfigurement who basically it's a perspective of him and the family and friends who are touched by him. And it's just one of the best books I've ever read. My daughter's read it, who's 9, and it was her favorite book. And it's just such a good book.
Well, it sounds like it works for adults too, though, because you obviously enjoyed it so much.
Yes, and I actually read it and I listened to it book on tape, and it was just it will make you cry, but it's wonderful. Very good book.
Well, thank you for that. Good to hear from you. It's Aline, and we'll hear from some more listeners in a moment. Although here's a strange but understandable remark from a listener online who writes, winter reading. The only folks with time on their hands in summer are academics and students. Summer is for growing food, being outside, working on your home, and going on vacation. The time to read is in the winter, where you want to be inside beside a light with a book. Okay, we'll go to more of your calls. Let's go to Sophie. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Okay. Thank you.
I wanted to recommend that people pick up A Book of Poetry this summer. I think that, you know, only fiction or nonfiction was mentioned, but poetry, when you're, especially in the summer, you can pick up a book of any Norton anthology, you know, just close your eyes, spin around, choose any Norton anthology you might have. People get, you know, intimidated by poetry and by buying poetry collections, but an anthology is a great way to get introduced to a lot of different poets at once and sort of get hooked into the one you like the most and follow wherever they take you.
An excellent suggestion, and I must tell you, I actually use the Norton Anthology as a teacher of literature, and will also bring to your attention, as well as listeners, the fact that tomorrow in this hour, Alejandro Murguia, who is the poet laureate of San Francisco, will be our guest in studio.
I'll be listening then.
Okay, and thank you for the call, Sophie. Good to hear from you. Lisa writes, an obvious recommendation as it won the Pulitzer, but I do want to recommend Donna Tartt's The Goldfinch. Don't let the length of the book dissuade you from bringing it along. It's worth its weight. The story is gripping, and Tartt's writing is impeccable. I've not read that. I've heard people loved it. I've also heard from people who said they were not all that happy with the ending and the last part of it, but I haven't read it, so I'm talking out of school here a little bit. Be interesting to hear from some of you, by the way, who are in book groups who have had real success with a particular book, fiction, nonfiction, poetry, whatever, in a book group. But we're getting some great ideas here for those of you who do have book groups or who just want to read and are omnivorous readers. Marvin writes, King of Cuba by Cristina Garcia. Boy, we had her on forum about 20 years ago. Marvin says, a wonderfully funny fictionalized account of a Castro-like dictator in his later years of life and an equally older Cuban exile obsessed with destroying the dictator. It's funny and poignant, perfect for summer, yet moving and cleaning. And Chris writes, for a fascinating history that reads like a suspense novel covering the Middle East from the Ottoman Empire to World War I, try Lawrence in Arabia by Scott Lawrence. And we'll go to more of your calls. We go next to Alameda. Jana, hi.
Hi. I'm so glad that you took my call. I listen to you every day, and you and the Crick and Crack Brothers on Saturday are the reason I became a member.
Well, thank you for that.
The book that I have is a book called The English Patient by Michael Ondaatje.
Michael Ondaatje. It was made into a movie by Saul Zanson.
It was made into a movie. The movie itself is spectacularly beautiful, and the book is, besides being a darn good read, it answers many of the questions that are brought up in the movie that don't get answered because you get lost in the visual. I just think it's a great book. And the other book that I would read, I cannot remember the author's name, but it was a book called Garden in the Dunes. And that book and the English book and the English Patient book, when I finished them, I turned back to the first page and started it again because I said, wow, both times.
Well, so, thank you so much for that, Jana. Yeah, that's Leslie Marmon Silko, the Garden in the Dunes, by the way, who also wrote Ceremony and is a terrific Native American writer. Ondaatje was living out here in the Bay Area for a while. I mean, he lives in Canada, but he was spending a good deal of time here in the summers, actually living in San Anselmo. And Jana, thank you for that that call. You know, we get in this question, what books really do you want it? Like Jana said, you know, you want to go back and read it again, or you're sorry when you finish the book, or you want to read it for a second time. And maybe, in fact, that ought to be a question we can throw into the mix here as well here this morning. Gina writes, I plan to read The Wizard of Us by Dr. Jean Houston. Also not exactly summery, but Cormac McCarthy, and W.G. Sebald are favorites of mine. I don't think of Cormac McCarthy as a summer writer somehow, but and is that Dr. Jean Houston? Is that the same one that's was Nancy Reagan's astrologist, or is that just somebody with the same name, Jean Houston? Anyway, we'll go to more of your calls, and feel free to join us. It's toll-free at 866-733-6786. Here's Shell. Good morning.
Good morning. I read recently the Amy Tan's book, The Valley of Amazement, and I thought that was very interesting. Both there's the mother and daughter themes, and there's also the themes of the love characteristics of men and women, how they deal with love, how they deal with sex. and also a look at Chinese society at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century. So I found it a very interesting book.
It's a terrific read. A lot of we had Amy on talking about it, a lot of sex in there that she actually did research on, in fact. And by the way, when I mention programs that we've done with various writers that you bring up, it's not to brag, as some people think, but to let you know that these are available in our archives, and that if you're interested in reading more, or excuse me, about hearing more about the book and getting an idea, or hearing the interview after you've read the book, that seems to me to be something I ought to at least be highlighting. You can get your own recommendations on our list. We do welcome them. Let's get another caller on here, and that's you, Monica. Hi.
Yes, I wanted to recommend Ramona by Helen Hunt Jackson for young adults in California, just because it was one of my favorite books in my early teens, and it sparked my interest in California mission and Native American history.
Oh, that's great that you have treasured that book all this time and wanted to bring it to our attention. And it is a great young adult book. Ramona, thank you, Monica. Good to hear from you.
You're
this
welcome.
Pleasure. And let's go to Woodside. Welcome Steve onto it. The air here. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning. I've got a good Silicon Valley business book for you. It's a little different than the other ones you've heard, but it's called The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. And I think the freshest thing about that book is it talks about, you know, he talks about all these really almost impossible situations that he got into in business. And he really does a great job of not only being transparent about how hard it was and how, you know, close his companies came to death, but also walks you through some really wonderful processes that you can use whether you're in a startup or a big company. It's just a fun read.
Okay. A different kind of book, like you said, but thank you for making that recommendation. And let me go to another caller, and that's you, Richard. Hi.
Hi. A book that I just picked up, it's been around for a while, but and I had never experienced this author before, but I highly recommend White Orlander by Janet Fitch.
Tell us about it. Why are you recommending it?
The language is exquisite, the plot line sublime, the struggles that this young woman goes through after her mother is arrested for murder, the setting in L.A., just the scenic pictorial view of Los Angeles. It's a marvelous book.
Why? You liked it, obviously. Thank you for recommending it, Richard.
Okay.
Good to hear from you, and we'll get more recommendations. We'll go next to San Jose. Chris, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to recommend to everyone the book The Black Hole War by Leonard Susskind.
Yes, we had him on talking about it. Again, it's in our archives. He's a professor of physics at Stanford.
Yes, he is. I just moved to the area, so I haven't listened to this program too often. I'd love to hear that show. I may have to look up the date, but the book is wonderful. It's really the book that introduced me to the science behind, you know, cosmology, you know, quantum mechanics. And it is a very eye-opening topic.
And string theory.
It helped me see the world around me, the universe around me, in a completely new light. So.
Yeah, no, good recommendation. And again, it's also Leonard Susskind is one of those string theorists, and you learn a lot about string theory from that book, too. We'll learn a lot more about your recommendations. Feel free to join us, and we'll have the list available for you later today. We want to hear what you think people should be reading or what you read that you really enjoyed, which you'd even read again. It was that good. And what you think is a must-read. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQEDForum, or go online, kqed.org/forum. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Well, we do ask you to make contributions from time to time when we have Pledge. This is a different type of contribution. You're contributing to a list that's an all-listener recommendation list of books that you feel people should read or ought to read, or you simply want to share the wealth of your own enjoyment with the book or feeling of enlightenment that you got from the book, and that's what this hour is all about. We try to do this seasonally, and you can lend your suggestion, your recommendation to the list that we're compiling, which should be available later this afternoon. Toll-free number to join us, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. You can also go to our Facebook page or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Some emails, Mac writes, with all the coverage of PTSD, the sequel to All Quiet on the Western Front is a masterpiece itself. The Road Back could have been written last week. Another listener writes, The Bees, a novel by Lalene Paul. The amazing complexity of the honeybee hive anthropomorphized. Think Watership Down with bees. I like those. Chris writes, I love this annual show. I write down so many suggestions each spring. On my list is How Jesus Became God, The Exaltation of a Jewish Preacher from Galilee by Bart Ehrman. I heard him on Terry Gross, I think, but I never knew that Jesus did not think of himself as divine. He was just a poor guy from Galilee who, after his death, got elevated, so to speak. Thanks for the show. You might put Reza Aslan's book into the mix here, which we did feature also on Forum, his book about Jesus. Another listener writes, The Trouble with Gumballs. Humorist Jim Nelson's memoir of his startup running iconic gumballs machine circa 1957. It's a funny portrait of life in Northern California in the 1950s. Young adult pick, Delirium by Lauren Oliver. The first sentence begins with a girl who can't wait until her 18th birthday when she'll be given the cure for love. Quite a hook. Delirium is like 1984 for kids. And another Bay Area read, Cleft Heart, technically a book about growing up with a cleft palate, but the memoirist grew up with Joan Baez, and his constant bullying led him to the nonviolence movement and to traveling around the world. And we've also got Chance by Kem Nunn, recommended from Rick, a noir thriller that takes place in the Bay Area. And he says, I've started to read books of Alan First. I think we're booking him on Forum. He writes thrillers, spy novels that take place in the World War II era in Europe, exciting stories, and great history. He'll be on the 25th of June. Thank you, Judy Campbell. Okay, and let's put some more of our callers on. And that's Dominique joining us from San Mateo. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling because I just read The Goldfinch, and as much as I didn't really like where the book was going, it was so well written that I could not put it down. So what I did now is I picked up the first book that Donna Tartt wrote, which is The Secret History, and I just love it. Love it even more than The Goldfinch. Yeah, I cannot put it down. It's gripping. It's perfect for a summer reading. It's a mystery. It's great. And I highly recommend it, especially if you like The Goldfinch, but even if you didn't particularly care for it, it's just very well written.
Okay, you hear a lot more about The Goldfinch than you do about that first novel of her, Secret History, but you liked it more.
Yes, I okay. liked The Secret History more.
Well, I'm glad you recommended it. Thank you so much for that, and we'll get some more recommendations from our listeners. Deborah, join us. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. Today is Larry McMurtry's birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
And one of my favorite series is the Barry Bender series, which is a great historical fiction about the Old West and the English coming over. Actually, the very, very, not even the Old West, the Mississippi, what would you call that? You know, the edge of the country in maybe the 1700s and 1800s. Really, it's really funny and really good. He's a wonderful writer.
Yeah, I love The Last Picture Show, but it's the last thing I've read of his, so it's been many years, so he's quite prolific. I don't know this Bender series. Thanks for bringing it up to us.
The Barry Benders, yeah, it's really entertaining. I think there's four books. It's fun for summer reading, and thank you.
Thank you, Deborah, and more of your calls, more of your recommendations. Anne, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead, Anne. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm calling about a local author, S.T. Georgiou. He's written a book called Mystic Street. I believe it's part of a trilogy, and it's followed by another book. But I was very much intrigued by this one because it shows how a young man is going through a doctoral school at here in the local area, Berkeley, GTU, Graduate Theological Union, and he finds that the lessons he learns in class are repeated in his daily life around the Bay Area. So he received a lot of this wisdom from a poet he met in Europe, Greece, to be exact, named the poet was Robert Lax, and that's the man who directed him to study theology. And he returned in a formal way and entered the Graduate Theological Union, and the book evolved after those experiences.
And the book is called Mystic Street, you said.
Mystic Street, yes.
And thank you for that. It's also part of a trilogy, and so In the spirit of that, I'm going to recommend some trilogies. Have any of you, some of you probably read Dos Passos USA, which is a great trilogy. Years ago when I interviewed Norman Mailer, he said, that's really the great American novel. But when I think of trilogies, I also think of Lawrence Durrell. And let me put in a plug for Updike, who wrote a trilogy and then wrote another one about, made it into a quartet about Harry Angstrom, the Rabbit books. I'm making more recommendations than I thought I would here. So let me go to more of your calls. And we go next to Sandy. Hi.
Hi there. I'm going to recommend three books by the same author, and I've been just flacking for this guy. Patrick Lee Fermor. Is that a name familiar to you?
Not at all. No. Tell me.
No. Patrick Lee Fermor was Englishman, born in 1915 and died in 2011. And in 1933, having failed a number of English boarding schools, he was encouraged to just take a walk across Europe. So he walks from Amsterdam to Istanbul. And then more than 40 years later, wrote the first book based on his notes. It's called A Time of Gifts, and it takes him from Amsterdam as far as Budapest. The second book is Between the Woods and the Water, and it takes him from Budapest into Romania. And then the third book, he never published in his lifetime. It was recently published by the New York Review of Books, and it was completed by his biographer, Artemis Cooper, who also was a biographer of Elizabeth David. And it's called The Broken Road, and it takes you from Romania into northern Greece. The writing is amazing, and it's I can read any one of these, you know, any one page four or five times in a row. It's just fabulous stuff.
Well, thank you. It sounds like exciting reading. The walks are sort of beyond the imagination here, the kind of distance he put, and thank you for that. Actually, what was it? I'm trying to think of that great Vietnam novel where the guy was walking from Vietnam to Paris, or at least he thought he was going to take that. Let me go to more of your calls. And we welcome from Los Gatos, Ellie, onto the air. Hi.
Yes. The most amazing autobiography by my former cooking teacher, Jacques Pepin. And Jacques is not only a brilliant cook, but he's a brilliant writer. And it's such wonderful reading. Jacques created the first PhD at Columbia University in gastronomic affairs. And he's just goes on. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book.
Yeah, I have to say again, that was a book that we featured on Forum. I think it's in our archives. I'm trying to think of how long ago that was, that autobiography by Jacques Pepin. The archives just started about 15 years ago, but I think it's in there. Let me thank you for that, and we'll go to more of your calls. We'll go next to Galinda. Good morning. Galinda, are you there?
This is Glenda.
Oh, Glenda. I'm sorry. We got your
name
wrong.
That's okay. A couple books I'd recommend. I'm not completely sure of the author's name. It might be Karen Russell. Her first book was Swamplandia, but her second book is called Vampires in the Lemon Grove. And it's a book of short stories that just are impossible to put down. They can be a little dark at times, but there's humor mixed in, and it makes you really think. Okay. So it's a lot of fun.
Good. Thank you. A lot of fun for summer reading. A lot of really terrific recommendations here. The Pepin interview, I guess, was in, 2003 on his autobiography. That's when it appeared. So we'll go to more of your calls here. And you can also email us, by the way, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, which is kqed.org/forum. Here's Aaron. Hi, Aaron. Welcome to Forum.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going. Thank you.
Well, my recommendation is Robert Moore. It's sort of like it's a Jungian archetypal book. It's called King, Warrior, Magician, Lover. It's about rediscovering archetypes of mature masculine.
And who's the author again, Aaron?
Robert Moore and Douglas Gillette.
And what did you get out of it that you really, are you a Jungian, or what did you find most appealing about it that you want to recommend it?
You know, it's really accessible for men who are trying to get beyond like sort of a an immature masculine idea and get into more of a mature masculine way of being. It kind of takes you through different archetypes, like, say, the warrior would be someone who would like want to conquest and take over things and be this big bravado person, and that's sort of our idea of what mature masculine is these days. But that's more of an underdeveloped idea of what being masculine is. It's sort of being sensitive and contacting your emotional side and those kind of things.
Well, thank you for that. In fact, we had a caller earlier on who was recommending reading poetry. Some of you may remember the name Robert Bly, who was a poet of note and who also wrote about that whole subject, you know, discovering those male archetypes within and so forth. Here's Rick who writes, I just finished A Tale for the Time Being by Ruth Ozeki, a moving and funny story about a writer struggling with block, a transplanted California Japanese American family, suicide, zen, and time. Highly recommended. Thank you, Rick. Elizabeth writes, to fill in about Americana, it's about a Nigerian woman who immigrates to the United States and discovers what it means to be black in the United States. A very good read. And let's, if we're talking about Nigerian writers, let me put a plug in for China Achebe, who just died recently, in fact, and who is a great Nobel Prize winning Nigerian writer. Or for that matter, Wole Soyinka, who we interviewed on Forum, another great Nigerian writer. Somehow you want to move beyond this Western writing into neo-colonial realms, I would say. Here's a tweet. Laura writes, I recommend The Time Traveler's Guide to Medieval England by Ian Mortimer. A great read, entertaining, educational, and fun. Thank you, Laura. And Elizabeth writes, San Francisco authors Sarah and Ian Hoffman have written a children's book, Jacob's New Dress, about love and acceptance. Not only does it deliver the obvious, it's okay for a boy to want to wear a dress, it evokes the larger themes of it's okay to be different. It's hard to be different. Bullying happens, and sometimes it's hard to love the child you get. I read it aloud to kids and adults, and it always brings tears and smiles and conversation. Thank you, Elizabeth. And thanks to all of you for putting forward these good recommendations. Here's one on Twitter. Leslie writes, Good Omens by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett, a witty look into religion and impending apocalypse, plus Freddie Mercury. More of your calls. Let's go next to a caller in Berkeley, and that's Gina. Hi, Gina.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. No one here has spoken about any scary novels, and I am such a fan of the genre. This is called Bird Box. It just came out last week by Josh Malerman. And it takes place in an apocalyptic dystopia. It's very scary, where the premise is if you, there's something out there, and if people see it, they're driven to suicide. So so everyone.
Boy, it sounds like Stephen King or something.
No, I know, but it's better. So this woman is trying to raise two babies in this world, and she has to blindfold them to rely on their sound, not their sight, and how they get out of the house and to safety, and finally find people who can live in this world without sight, because you'll commit suicide, is absolutely fabulous. Hmm. Please read a scary novel this summer.
And again, Bird Box is the novel and the author?
Josh Malerman.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Gina, and we go to more of your calls. We'll go to Mill Valley. Hannah, hi.
Hi. I am, first, thank you for having me on your program. It's always a great program. I wanted to heartily nominate for Perfect Summer Fiction anything by Stella Remington. And in particular, she has a series of suspense or thriller novels concerning a character called Liz Carlisle, who is a British MI5 officer. And if you might have heard of Stella Remington, she's very well prepared to write these novels as the former first female leader of MI5 herself.
Well, so, she's a British writer?
She is.
Yeah.
She is. In fact, I think she began her career with MI5 in the late 60s and retired in the 90s. So she had a long tenure with MI5 and brings all of that, you know, to this wonderful character who is intelligent and perceptive and female, which is part of what makes all of her adventures.
Have you read any of P.D. James, Hannah?
I have not.
Oh, well, we might as well put her into the mix here, because she also, she also worked for British intelligence and did police work and homicide investigations, and is also really a terrific mystery writer. But how many, it sounds like Stella Remington had a lot of novels under her belt.
She's got at least 5. I'm up to number 4, and I'm aware of the 5th one. It's still out there. There may be more.
Great. Thank you so much for the call. On we go to George, who wants to recommend the first book by Agatha Christie. That goes back some time.
Published in 1921.
Yeah.
Mysterious Deferred Styles. You can see how Agatha Christie, if you read through this book carefully, you see that she doesn't really write a book. She kind of engineers it. The paragraphs are very efficient, and it's just an interesting read. It's very short, just 150 pages.
Wow. I wonder how many she has under her belt. Do you have any idea?
How many books?
Yeah.
You know, I have no idea. There must be at least 60.
I was going to say certainly more than 50. Thank you for the call, and let me go to more of your online recommendations. Kathleen writes, A Change in the Weather by local author Ray Welch. It's a thriller about what happens to one family in the Bay Area in the near future when the ice cap suddenly melts. Great read and thought-provoking for those concerned with the possible consequences of climate change. And Ellen writes, I loved the series of mysteries set in Laos in the mid-70s, starting with The Coroner's Lunch by Colin Cotterill. Informative, laugh out loud, funny, but not skirting the horrors of the time, and every situation and idea is fresh. Lynn writes online, Excellent Women and An Unsuitable Attachment, both by Barbara Pym. Barbara Pym is my favorite author. I've reread her book so many times. Her writing is kind, funny, and thoughtful. And Dorothy writes online, Our book club is reading The Roundhouse by Louise Erdrich. This novel takes readers to the Ojibwe Reservation in North Dakota. It is an exquisitely told story of a boy on the brink of manhood, seeking justice and understanding in the aftermath of a terrible attack on his mother that forever changes the family dynamics. And boy, I'd recommend anything by Louise Erdrich. But go back to her first book, Love Medicine, which holds up now as a classic. Alan writes, Follow the House of Dixie by Bruce Levine. It is a book largely about attitudes among major players and social sectors in both the North and the South. Among many other things, I was surprised to learn of the extent of anti-slavery sentiment among Southerners. 300,000 Southern whites fought for the North, and how the winning of civil rights as a result of the war still left most slaves in poverty because the plans to redistribute plantation lands were thwarted after Lincoln's assassination. Another listener online has Sue Monk Kidd's new novel, The Invention of Wings, a fictionalized history of early abolitionist and suffragette Grimke sisters, Sarah and Angelina. Important subject. And P.S., let's emphasize that reading is a year-round activity. Thank you. Tamara, my book club just read Me Before You by Jojo Moyes, about a young woman who becomes a companion for a quadriplegic man and how their relationship changes her life. It's entertaining and bittersweet and raises a lot of important issues about life and love, and it is a quick and engaging read. Let's go to more of your calls, and let's go to Oakland. Rick, join us.
Hey, yeah, more of an author recommendation since he's so prolific, but whenever a book needs to be recommended, I heartily recommend Terry Pratchett. He's written about 40 novels or so. He's from England. His latest one is called Raising Steam. He's commonly billed as the fantasy Douglas Adams, and it's so true. He's just hilarious, satirical, can go into very deep spots at the same time, and just has reads for anyone. Even if you don't like fantasy, there's something in his novels for you.
Terry Pratchett, so be it. Thank you. And by the way, thanks to William, who writes online. I couldn't, for some reason, was addled in trying to think of Tim O'Brien's book. It's called Going After Cacciato. That's the book about the Vietnam deserter who decides to walk to Paris, and it's actually told from the point of view of the man who hunts him down. He says a good book. It is indeed a good book. And for those of you who have never read Tim O'Brien, The Things They Carried is more than a good book. It is, again, really a classic. And by the way, the San Francisco Public Library has just released its own summer reading guide, and you can find a link on our website, kqed.org/forum. Let me go to more of your calls. And we'll go next to another book that was featured on Forum, David Talbot's Season of the Witch. Katie, you liked it, huh?
Yeah, I loved it, especially considering what's going on with the tensions between the tech workforce and the rest of the city. I think it puts a lot of it into context. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the analysis from the author, but I think he does a great job, you know, highlighting the historical events from the 50s on through the AIDS epidemic.
Anybody who wants to know about that period in San Francisco's history really needs to read that book. I mean, it is
a
real eye-opener.
Yeah, it's a required reading for anybody who moves to the city.
Well, thank you for that. And more of your recommendations. Let's go to Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I wanted to recommend Wild Swans, Three Daughters of China by Jung Chang. It's an amazing look at 20th century history in China from she starts with her grandmother, who was one of the last women to have her feet bound, and it kind of traces Chinese history through about the demise of Mao. And it's 500 pages. I read it in one day. But what's even more amazing is I'm a high school teacher, and my students loved it as well, even though it was much longer than what they often would be willing to read.
And Deborah, who's the author again?
Oh, her name is Jung, J-U-N-G, and the last name is Chang, C-H-A-N-G.
And it's called Wild Swans, Three Daughters of China.
Yeah, and it's basically the story of her grandmother and then her mother and her. And she was born in 1953 and grew up during the Cultural Revolution. And she's a little bit older than I am, but when I was reading it, I was like, wow, her childhood was so profoundly different than mine in so many ways, and just thinking what it would have been like to grow up. She eventually left China and went to England, which is, I think, where she read the book. But she's written some other books. I don't remember the titles of them, but that one is such a compelling read. And everyone I know who I've recommended it to has just gone through it in a couple of days, despite its length. It's really worth reading.
Well, you've just recommended it again to many. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad I did. Anyway, thank you. It's a great program. I'm writing down all the recommendations. So.
Well, great. And we will hope to have them later on today online for you at kqed.org. I'm going to read some more online comments and suggestions. Carrie writes, Over Easy by Mimi Pond is a new graphic memoir on life as a waitress in Oakland in the 70s. Feels like watching a film with highly expressive drawings and pithy words. Can't get enough of it. By the way, since we're talking about graphic memoirs, Roz Chast's new book, which will be featured on Forum Thursday, which also I think was featured on Terry Gross, about her parents and the difficulty of dealing with elderly parents as they become more and more feeble and everything, is really a terrific read and very, in many ways, haunting, moving, eloquent, poignant work, to be sure. Ted recommends Gary Kamiya's Cool Gray City of Love. Again, really an excellent book of San Francisco. When Gary was on the show, I said I hadn't read anything as good in terms of prose writing about San Francisco since Herb Cain, and I mean that. It's subtitled 49 Views of San Francisco, and Ted writes, superb description, stunning writing for all San Franciscans, new or old, or for that matter, I'd add all people who love San Francisco. Here's somebody else who was on Forum, recommended by GN. I like to think that some of you are reading these books because they were featured on Forum. Just yesterday, a young friend returned my copy of God's Hotel by Victoria Sweet. Dog-eared, soiled, slightly beaten up. I've loaned it to so many people. Gardener, doctor, teacher, nurse, writer, and everybody loves it. Subtitle tells it all. A doctor, a hospital, and a pilgrimage to the heart of medicine. A few years old, but a classic. Let's go to more of your calls, and we go next to Calistoga. Frederick, morning.
Good morning, Michael. Well, I would recommend that people breeze through Thomas Piketty's Capital. Has anyone recommended that?
Not yet. You're the first.
And for more lighthearted reading, I would recommend, of course, anything from Barbara Kingsolver.
Well, she can write some pretty serious stuff. I don't know if I call her lighthearted reading, but I thank you for the suggestions. We've got a tweet here from Trish who says, rereading Grapes of Wrath for 70th anniversary. Great read. We did a special program, actually, on that 75th anniversary, which is also in our archives, just letting you know about those things. And here's Cass, another Ruth Ozeki book. Hi, Cass.
Hi. I'd like to recommend A Tale for the Time Being, a novel by Ruth Ozeki. Mm-hmm. It's very funny, and it's kind of a meditation on time and the various ways time insinuates itself into our lives.
Yeah, she's actually we had another recommendation of her work previously to yours, Cass, and I think well worth reading. I'm glad that she's got a couple of recommenders here this morning. Let's go to more of your recommendations, and we'll get Letitia on. Hi, Letitia.
Good morning. I would like to recommend Blasphemy by Sherman Alexie.
Yeah.
It's a compilation of his short stories, and Sherman Alexie is Native American, although he prefers to be called Indian. I think he is one of our great contemporary writers, and these short stories really give us an insight into the Native American culture today. They're very modern stories. We had the book in our book club, and it was very good because different people gave a report on different stories, and it was very enriching. So I highly recommend Sherman Alexie. I think all his books are great.
Yeah, I would ditto that recommendation. We had Blasphemy featured on Forum as well. And again, you can go to our archives and hear that interview with Sherman Alexie. And thank you so much for that. Letitia, we'll go to another caller from Oakland. Rich, welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling to recommend the Stormlight Archive series by Brandon Sanderson. He just wrote the second book. The first one was The Way of Kings. The second one is Words of Radiance. He just creates this incredibly rich world. The stories are told in such a compelling way, and the characters are developed so deeply. It's a fantasy book, and I highly recommend it to anybody who's enjoyed anything else he's written, Mistborn or The Wheel of Time. I also want to just recommend by Joseph Campbell, The Power of Myth, which has been a fantastic nonfiction read that touches on a lot of things that I think that people could really use in today's world. Thank you.
Thank you for those recommendations. And some more of them online here. Stan says, in honor of World War I's 100th anniversary this summer, I'm reading The Guns of August by Barbara Tuchman. Another listener, Claudia, writes, Infidel by Ayaan Hirsi Ali is a terrifying memoir about the author's harrowing escape from Islamic oppression. That, too, you can find in our archives. Chris writes, the interview, that is, Space Chronicles by Neil deGrasse Tyson, interesting historical summary of space exploration and its relationships with tech innovation, also challenges our young people to consider our societal priorities going forward, and a fun read. And Annette writes, This Is How You Lose Her by Juno Diaz, great, hip, and funny, and also Anything by Mohsin Hamid, a literate Pakistani melding U.S. and Pakistan. The interview with This Is How You Lose Her is also on Forum. It was done by Dave Iverson. And The Swerve, which we featured as well, Stephanie recommends. How the World Became Modern by Stephen Greenblatt, wide-ranging history of the rediscovery in 1417 of Lucretius's On the Nature of Things, impossible to put down. It will change your view of the world. I agree. It's a terrific read, and I wish I could get to more of these, but we are out of time. You can continue online, however, by going to kqed.org, and later on, KQED.org/forum. Our list will be available to you if all goes according to plan. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated, 10 to 11 in the evening. And we also remind you, you can let us know what you think about what you hear on Forum or would like to hear on Forum by emailing us, forum@kqed.org. Forum's producers are Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Larberg. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.